This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman. Kathira Rabbana laka alhamdu. كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك والعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. InshaAllah, we're starting this lesson, which will go for about 5 weeks, on the farewell khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The version that we're working with is a later version which compiles many of the earlier versions, specifically the version mentioned by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, which is one of the most comprehensive versions of the address, and a narration even after that that includes at the beginning of it, Khutbatul Hajjah. So we'll start with what's called Khutbatul Hajjah, or the prayer of need. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the Mount of Mercy, Jabal al-Rahmah, during his farewell pilgrimage. And so there are two major addresses, and then even a few days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned advice for the ummah. So on the Jabal al-Rahmah, on the day of Arafah, he issued the address that we're going to deal with, and then the next day, Yawm al-Nahr, he mentioned another. He gave more advice, but we're not going to deal with that, inshaAllah ta'ala. So he says, Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiru, wa natubu ilayh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina, wa min sayyi'ati a'malina, man yahdihillahu falamudillala, wa min yudlil falahadiyala, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So, to translate that, he says, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, we seek forgiveness from Him, we turn to Him in repentance, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our soul and the vileness of our actions. One whom Allah has guided, there can be no one to lead astray, and one Allah has led astray, there can be no one to guide. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that He is alone, or He is alone with no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. So as we said, these introductory remarks are called Qubbatul Hajjah. So generally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened most of his addresses with this khutbah, especially in the latter part of his mission, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Specifically, he used it before the wedding. So the gathering or jalsa for a wedding, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite this prayer. So as we said, it's called the prayer for need. And we're not going to go through it because it's sort of introductory to the actual khutbah, but to point out a few points from it. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is emphasizing our need for Allah. And if we reflect on what do we need Allah for, he says, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ. So we need Allah's help. So alhamdulillah, we praise Him, نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ, we seek His help. So we need Allah's help at every minute of our existence. As our great teacher and sage Ibn al-Ta'ilah Siskandari mentioned, there are two great blessings, ni'matan, that are absolutely necessary for every creature and they're inescapable for everything in existence. The blessing of being created, ni'matul ijad, and the blessing of being sustained in creation, wa ni'matul imdad. And neither of these we can do ourselves. We were earlier with some of the children at the Elm Tree School, and we mentioned there, Allahumma salli Rasulillah. The inability of anyone or anything to create something from nothing. So if we had a vacuum, so there's nothing in it, just an empty vacuum tube, without introducing something from the external environment, could anyone or anything cause something to exist in it? No one could. So we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start that process of existence. It's absolutely necessary. And no matter how we conceive, some people say, well, who created the world? That's how we had gotten on this tangent. So if someone said God created the world, because nothing can create itself. We see a footprint, we know someone walked there. There's a cause that brought about that effect. So we see the world. The world is an effect. So it has to have a cause. Otherwise, we can't rationally conceive of a cause with no effect. And some of the people try to escape. But they can only... They said Kant, the German philosopher, said that we can conceive of something existing without a cause. That's only a concept in the mind. But in reality, we can't conceive of something in reality. We might say, I can think in my mind, but in reality, we can't come with any rational explanation of a cause without an effect without a cause. In any case, so some clever person might say, well, if God created the world, who created God? And say, well, another God. Well, who created that God? So if this kind of process of infinite regress continue, nothing could be created. Because the creation of something would be contingent on the creator of the creator, and that creator's existence would be contingent on the creator of a creator. And so we get into an absurd digression that precludes anything from existing, but things exist. And so we know there has to be an initial cause, the fact that things exist. Anyway, the first graders, they got it. the adults, I don't know. Allah al-Musta'an. But in any case, we need Allah's help. Nasta'inuhu. So this is one reason it's called khutbatul hajj, the prayer of need, because we declare our need for Allah's help. Nasta'inuhu. We seek His help. And one reason so many people are so miserable nowadays is that they think they can get along without the help of Allah and end up in a very frustrating existence. We need Allah's help. Nasta'inuhu. Wa nastaghfiruhu. We need His forgiveness. So we can pass through this life carrying a mountain of sin. And if it's all forgiven, then alhamdulillah, it doesn't burden us and prevent us from Jannah. But if we carry that mountain of sin into the next life, we have a problem. So who forgives the sins? None of us can forgive. We can forgive each other, but we can't wipe out the stain of that sin. We can't eliminate the burden of that sin. Only Allah Ta'ala can do that. So we need Allah in this world. Nasta'inuhu. We seek His help in this world. And we need His help in the next. And the greatest help we need in terms of the next is for our sins to be forgiven. Nastaghfiruhu. وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ And we turn to Him in repentance. وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ So we need His help. We need His forgiveness. We need His repentance. So these are all aspects of need that are embodied in this prayer. And therefore, it's referred to as Qutbatul Haja. So one thing that it mentions, so وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ We seek refuge with Allah. So we need the protection of Allah. مِن شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا From the evil inherent to our souls. So our souls, unless they're trained and refined, they incline towards that which is sinful. Because sin is rooted in our carnal appetites. And so our soul, when it's not refined, it's directed by the carnal appetites, some call al-nafs al-shahwaniya, or shahwani. So the lusting, or sometimes called bahimi, the bestial aspect of our soul, that which is closest to our carnal nature. And so we refine it, so we elevate, and we elevate through various stages. So the nafs ammara bisu is that lowest stage that's very close to this nafs al-shahwani or bahimi. And then we refine it, nafs al-lawwama. And we refine it and refine it. Nafs al-mutma'inna wa radiya wa mardiya wal kamila. So it goes to greater and greater degrees, and the higher it elevates, the more distant it is from that inherent carnal nature. And our society emphasizes the carnal appetites of people, because we live in a society that is increasingly under the influence of shaitan. And shaitan appeals to that lower aspect, or his agitation targets the lower aspects of our existence. So we were driving here. Some of you might have, if you were listening to the KPFA when you drove over here, or even if you have a radio on your bike. Some people have a radio on their bike. We used to, you know, people have a boombox on the handlebars. I don't think they make boom boxes anymore. But in any case, there was a program about a big bust of a international child pornography ring. And so people were going online, paying money, and logging into websites where they will watch children being sexually abused. And then they're abused by what they call sexual tourists, or people going to places like the Philippines. This big bust was in the Philippines to abuse children, where they're just snatching children off the streets, paying orphanages to give them children, so these primarily Europeans and Americans can go and abuse them. But in any case, where is that coming from? Is coming from a soul that's totally controlled by its lower desires, its carnal desires. And this is what shaitan agitates in human beings. So shaitan ya'murukum ash-shaytan yu'idukum al-faqr wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha. So shaitan he threatens you with poverty, and then commands you with that which is despicable by the standards of Sharia. وَيَأْمُرُكَ الْفَحْشَاءِ الْقَبِيِّ شَرْعًا This is the dictionary definition of fahsha. So qabih, that which is ugly or vile, شَرْعًا by the standards of Sharia. This is what fahsha is. So what's the relationship between the two? Like, what does Allah Ta'ala say? الشَّيْطَانِ يُعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ He threatens you with poverty and commands you with that which is vile and despicable. The connection is the threat of poverty is whom we want to spend when we don't have excess. So that's when you have a lot of money, it's easy to spend. Oh, you need help? MashaAllah. Here you go. But when you don't have one, it's going to hurt a little bit. That's when shaitan comes. And he starts to say, you know, economy's bad. What if you lost your job? You might need that money. You know, you should hold on to it. People start thinking. So this is what it means that shaitan yu'idukum al-faqr. Shaitan threatens you with poverty. So what's the connection between that and that which is vile? Allah Ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain to righteousness until you spend from what you love. So if shaitan can get people from spending when it's going to hurt, from spending from what they want to hold on to, مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, then he takes righteousness out of the society. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain to righteousness until you spend from what you love. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. So, there's no birr, there's no righteousness. When there's no righteousness, then people become open to shaitan's invitations to fahsha. That's the connection. الشَّيْطَانُ يُعِذُكُمُ الْفَقْرُ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. The shaitan threatens you with poverty and then commands you with that which is vile and despicable. And so why? Because when we're spending from what we love, we're showing we love Allah more. And if we love Allah more, we move into the realm of righteousness. We're going to do things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to do things for the pleasure of Allah. If we love the world more, and we love the dunya more, then we're giving a secondary status to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do that, He leaves us to our own devices, and then shaitan takes over. Wallahul musta'an. Tayyib, so this khutbatul hajj is an expression of our needs. The carnal soul, this nafs al-bahimi, or nafs al-shahwani, this carnal appetite has to be disciplined. So we're told by our society and the influences in our society not to discipline it. Give it free rein. Do your thing. Let it all hang out. That's what we were told back in the 60s and 70s. They probably worded a little differently now. But the message is the same. Don't try to check your soul. Don't try to check your hawa. Just give it free rein. And that's when it becomes one of our greatest enemies. But Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for one who fears the time they will stand before their Lord. So shaitan, he tries to get us to hold on. Don't spend for the sake of Allah. Hold on to that. You already spent from your extra. You already gave away your extra money. Why are you going to spend what you need or might need? So he creates this climate of avarice and greed. And then he creates a climate which encourages us to not restrain our nafs. Because he knows, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, one who fears the station of their Lord. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ, or the time they will stand before their Lord. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And they restrain their soul from the things it inclines for, from the hawa that influences the soul. Just do this. Go talk to her. Then it's like the cartoons, you have the good angel and the bad angel. The bad angel, the hawa, go talk to her, the good angel. But she's married. You know, you shouldn't do that.
And the man, oh, so what if she's married? If she respected her own marriage, she wouldn't be dressing like that. And the good angel says, Astaghfirullah, you shouldn't be looking in the first place. And then you're going back and forth. And so the hawa is inclining towards something, but Allah Ta'ala has encouraged us to restrain it. And shaitan is encouraging us to ignore it. Just do what it's telling you to do. Don't worry about the consequences. And this is called ghafla. So shaitan tries to deprive us of righteousness by forgetting those things pleasing to Allah, like spending. And then he tries to make us heedless through ghafla or heedlessness. And so heedless of what? Heedless of the fact that there's life after death. Heedless of the fact that there's accountability for what we do in this world. So we just do it. We're not thinking, I'm going to have to answer to Allah Ta'ala for this. Just do it. So when you combine these forces, it becomes a very powerful influence to discard the commandments and prohibitions of Allah Ta'ala. And so we're in this atmosphere of heedlessness. People, they're not thinking about God, generally speaking. Even people go to church. Like, people are sitting up in church, they're living together outside of marriage, they're fornicating, and they're in the front row of the church, perfectly comfortable. They're not thinking about fornication. They're not thinking about divine commandments. They're just thinking about, I do whatever I want, and then I say, that's what religion is all about. So we should try to ask Allah to help us not to get caught up into this. We're referred to as ibadullah. We're the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadullah. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the introduction, starts the khutbah. So he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, usikum ibadullah bi taqwa Allah. So he says, I counsel you, O servants of Allah, with mindfulness of Allah, meaning mindfulness of the commandments and prohibitions of Allah. Usikum ibadullah bi taqwa Allah. This is a great, great counsel. Ittaqullah. Ittaqullah, ya ibad. Be mindful of Allah, servants. That's why people are, they have no mindfulness. The opposite is ghafla, what we were talking about. They're heedless of Allah. Heedless of the commandments, the prohibitions of Allah. Heedless of, we alhamdulillah. So after the children, we were blessed to go to a wedding of one of the sisters. Many of you might know Sister Asma Ni'mati. Afghani sister was very active before going to Afghanistan. Some of you heard her on KPFA. She was a correspondent for a few years. Now she's in Jordan. In any case, she came back, got married. So we're at her wedding. The wedding, how many people are getting married generally? 2010, the first time in American history, more couples were living together outside of marriage than inside of marriage. In France, I think only 24% of couples are married. Scandinavia, 39%. Just, why get married? It's a hassle. If you like someone, just live with them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned arba'un min sunan al-mursaleen. As-siwak wa ta'attur wal-hayat wal-nikah. Four things are from the sunan of the messengers. The toothstick, the miswak, siwak, good oral hygiene, using the perfume, the oud and the ward and the East Oakland musk. That's the blue one. Al-hayat, shyness, when nikah, and marriage. Shyness, we mentioned this before, 2 years ago,
Shyness was declared a mental disorder, placed in the Diagnostical and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And then there's a whole bevy of drugs to treat it. Now, right away, that's an assault on Islam. One of our fundamental principles, al-haya'u min al-iman. Al-iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'aban. أفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. So faith is 70 some odd branches. The most virtuous of which is to remove the harmful thing from the path. The lowest of which is the most virtuous. Excuse me. To say لا إله إلا الله. The lowest is to remove the harmful thing from the path. And shyness is a branch of faith. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ The Prophet ﷺ was shy. But now it's a mental disorder. And this is part of Shaitan and his grip on our society. And this is real. We talked about it in Jum'ah a few weeks ago. Shaitan is real. Take him as an enemy. And look what he does. How many of you saw in Oklahoma, these Satan worshippers, because they were going to do a Ten Commandments statue, they were going to do a Satan statue. Anyone see that? No one saw that? Seriously, my wife saw it. So they had this Baphomet character, the goat. And he has two children, like, in his hands. And look at the assault on our children. We try to create brand identity in them at 6 months old. And how dehumanizing is that? We were talking about the child pornography. We rape the environment and don't care if they don't inherit a world that we can live in. So after the child pornography thing, they had a thing on fracking in these neighborhoods in the Central Valley, where they sold the houses, then they found shale oil, like the shale oil, the big project in Edmonton, Canada, the tar sands, but where they can frack and get the oil out. And now, so they're trying to come back and say the people own the house and the surface of the land, but the oil company owns what's under the land. And so they're drilling in these residential neighborhoods with all these fracking chemicals. And who cares about the children growing up there? You know, there's an all-out assault on our children. Look at defunding education, exposing them to all of this disastrous music, pumping these drugs into them. So shyness is a mental disorder. So every shy child now has to... Their school guidance counselor has to prescribe to their parents they should be on this, that, or the other drug that will bring out their personality. As if shyness isn't a personality. They say, no, it is. It's a personality disorder. Then what are we doing to our children? It's from Shaitan. He doesn't care about our children. He has no interest in the children. You look at all these, anyway, that's a whole subject.
TV too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How they look at all these child stars. Like, look at a Michael Jackson. They all end up like Michael Jackson, either totally destroying themselves. And most of them, I read an article recently, they either commit suicide or overdose on drugs. That's their fate. They're in this, and why do they? Because they're all sexually abused. You can hear interviews. Oh, the casting couch extends the children, and you see tears coming in the eyes. That's what we're doing to our children. So this is a very, very satanic situation. We're exposing them to all of this as opposed to the religious values that have sustained us
as a civilization for millennia. Now what are the children? They're exposed to witchcraft, the occult. You get Harry Potter. It's cute. It's not cute anymore. Harry grew up. Now it's dark and sinister. The Smurfs, they're doing witchcraft ceremonies. This is a little cute little cartoon, these little blue Smurfs. This is what we're doing to our children. We're the people who have to push back. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Those who believe, they fight in the way of Allah. Those who disbelieve, they fight in the way of Satan. Fight you all together, the dupes of Satan. Verily the scheme of Satan is weak. And we're not talking about physical fight. We're talking about everything we mentioned. Pornography, child pornography, environmental decay, sorcery and witchcraft. Those are things we have to fight. Those are countervailing values we have to maintain and we have to keep alive. Now, our children are growing up in this environment where marriage isn't important. There's the message in the television. You hear more references to what do they call them? Significant others and partners than you do to husbands and wives in the popular culture. For every reference to a husband or a wife, you hear a reference to a significant other or to a partner, my partner. We have to keep these things alive. أَرْمَنْ مِنْ سُنِنِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. These are from the sunan of the messengers who received them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then passed them on to us. الْعُلَمَاء وَرَفَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاء. The scholars are the heirs of the prophets. So scholars have to introduce and maintain in society the heritage of the prophets alayhim as-salam, and then the believers have to endorse that and hold on to it. And so we're talking with the kids, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they could all relate to this. He said, "Addu alayha bin nawajith." These sunan, he said, bite into them with your hind teeth. So like a pit bull, like bite in and lock up. Don't let go. They have to take you out to get you to let go. Like, some of them dogs, they lock up. It's like, man, I really like that dog. But he's going to tear the arm off this kid. So, man, I'm going to have to clock him over the head. Apologize to the PETA people out there. I didn't mean it. I'm just making an example. But we have to really hold on. We have to hold on to this. And it's not easy. Like people say, oh, you talk all this stuff like it's easy. No, it's hard. The Prophet ﷺ said the time will come when holding on to your deen would be like holding on to a burning ember, a burning ember of coal. We're in that time. And a lot of people can't hold on. We hear every day, you get a text message, I don't know if I'm a Muslim anymore. Right? Get an email, I don't know if I'm a Muslim, I don't feel it. Yeah, it's hard to hold on to. I've been missing my prayers. You know, I think I'm taking my hijab off. It's hard to hold on to. It's like a burning ember. So you have to put yourself in the right frame of mind, like those people that walk over the coals. They don't feel anything. It's all in how you look at things. You're just holding on. But if you're not in the right frame of mind, and shaitan is hitting you and hitting you and hitting you and hitting harder, it's going to be hard to hold on. You have to be in the right frame of mind. But in any case, so the Prophet, he starts, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, usikum bi taqwa Allah. I counsel you with mindfulness of Allah. Don't be heedless. Keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. This is the greatest protection against shaitan. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Nas, khannas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ What is the khannas? Is the Satan that pulls back and slinks away when the name of Allah is mentioned? None. Grab a chair, brother. You all right? You good? Okay. Knees aren't hurting. Alhamdulillah. But so get a chair. You gotta sit. You're straight. Then put your leg out. Put this over your feet. Then you won't have any bad adab. Stretch it out. Bismillah. So he's the when the Allah is mentioned, the devil slinks back. So he's ready to pounce on you. Walhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Pulls back, man. Let me get out of here. Comes back again. You read in your Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Man, let me get out of here. Comes back again. You're doing your Hizbul Bahr. Ya Allah, Ya Ali, Ya. Let me get out of here. Comes back, you pray in Maghrib. Man, let me get out of here. A few days, you'll give up. And let me go to greener pastures. But he comes and it's like, you're like, man, is the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. Like, okay, yeah. Comes back again, it's like, whatever, man. It's 2 days after the 49ers lost, it's still mad. He threw that pass a little higher. Shaitan like, yeah, you're not thinking about Allah, you're thinking about that pass. It's cool today, yesterday, it's all right. Now it's still 2 weeks later, you're still thinking about it. And here comes Shaitan. Keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa Allah. Be consciousness of Allah. Be conscious of His commandments and prohibitions. Like, what should I be doing in this situation? The sun just went down, what should I be doing? I'd be preparing for or praying Maghrib. What in this situation? I'm coming, going out of my house, what should I be doing? Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. Hawla wa quwwata illa billah. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أدل عوضال أو زل عوزال أو عظم أو عظم أو أجهل يجهل علي. I should be making the dhikr you make when you leave your house. When I'm in the prayer, I should be thinking, سبحان رب العظيم, سبحان رب العالى. I should be absorbed and involved and connected with that which is most appropriate for the time I'm in. I'm with a bunch of people that are depressed. I should be telling them some halal jokes. Seriously, that's the Prophet ﷺ. He found his companions sad. He tried to cheer them up. So our whole life shouldn't be a joke. But in situations that call for humor, we should have some humor. So they're all depressed and like, astaghfirullah. Then someone tells them a joke, astaghfirullah, brother, jokes are haram. Now everyone's messed up. Subhanallah. You didn't hear about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He told the lady, she asked him, will old women enter paradise? He told her no. She started crying because she was old. Then he said, wait a minute. He said, you'll be restored to your youth. Uruban atraba. You'll be restored to your youth and then you'll enter paradise. So he had light moments, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would often, he would have these light moments with the women and the children. So another lady asked him, could she borrow a camel? She needed a camel to carry a load. He said, I'll give you a baby camel. She said, Rasulullah, what am I going to do with a baby camel? He said, I'll give you a baby camel. He said, no, I need a camel, I have a load. He said, I'll give you a baby camel. And so finally he said to her, Salasaf, she started getting frustrated. She said, every camel is another camel's baby. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it wasn't doom and gloom. It was a human society with needs. They had needs.
that he didn't, when Aisha radiallahu anha was listening to the Ethiopians dancing and celebrating on the Eid day, he stood and watched with her. He didn't pull her back, "Ya Aisha, hadha haram. Hadha raqs wal ghina fi masjid an-nabi, a'udhu billah, yalla ta'ali mai. Falnadhhab. Let's get out of here." Sallallahu alayhi, he stayed until she got bored. And then he left with her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wedding of the Ansars. She wanted to go to the wedding of the Ansars. Are they going to have singing? Because the Ansars, they love to sing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, mindfulness of Allah is situational. We try, that's why some of the people of the spiritual path, they say that Sufi ibn al-Waqt. The Sufi is the child of the moment. In other words, someone who's connected with Allah in the sense that they're aware of what they should be doing at every moment they find themselves in. And so this is how we should try to be. We should try to be sensitive to the demands of the situation that we're in, and then what's the proper commandment or prohibition in this situation. So we're in a situation where people are watching, we're visiting some people and they're watching some lewd, indecent thing on the television. We shouldn't look at it. It's prohibited. We shouldn't look at it. So the situation calls for us to lower our gaze or ask that they change. We go in the store. And now that you notice that before they used to have Muzak, you know, this mellow instrumental versions of popular songs. You're in the store, doo, 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 doo. It makes you shop better. What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lots of pain and sorrow. So until, at least until tomorrow, do, 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 do. Muzak. We grew up with Muzak. SubhanAllah. And it's always mellow. You know, some mellow song. Do, 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 do. Now you go in the store, it's like you have to bring your children out or tell them to change the music. Seriously, it's getting more and more lewd. Like everyone wants to hear this garbage. And you never had words, lyrics, it was Muzak. It was all instrumental, violins. Now it's just bum ba da bum bum, and then beep, and then slap her upside her head. Leave her in the alley like she's dead. And y'all didn't hear that. And you know, children in there, Sheikh Hamza, he mentioned the other day, we were talking about this, he said he asked them to turn the music off. No, can you change the music? The guy said, "What are you into?" He said, "What are you into?" He said, "Silence." But seriously, we don't have, silence is very important. Like your body, like if people that lift weights, I mean, do you lift weights 24/7? If you do, the only way you can do that is with steroids. And then you'll destroy your body. Like you'll be buffed up for about 2 or 3 years after. So enjoy it. You know? You better get that wife now, you know? Sister, which was the exit? Over there? You better impress her now, because 3 or 4 years down, you're going to be messed up. And stuff's going to implode. You might die of depression, commit suicide. This stuff makes you depressed. You're going to be, that's the only way you can lift weights. But normally, you have to rest. You take a day on, and then a day off. Because your body has to regroup. And our souls have to regroup. Our souls regroup in silence. So we can reflect at tafakkur. Now, it's another thing shaitan does, he takes all our reflecting time away.
people used to reflect in the car. They reflect too much. They're like in the car. They're like the baby. So like 5 minutes on the highway, baby sleep. 10 minutes, the wife sleep. 20 minutes, they sleep. But now you get in the phone, everyone's texting, you're on the phone, you got your wireless, you got the thing on the dashboard. And so the whole time you're having conversations on the phone, in the car, was like the last bastion of silence. You just get in the car and just think. You jog. People used to jog to think. Now you jog, you got your Walkman strapped to your arm and you wire it up. So just like the muscles have to recuperate so they can grow, the soul has to recuperate and be invigorated. And silence is what now 24/7, there's noise, there's stimulation. And so where's the room to reflect on Allah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, "Usikum bi taqwallah." I'm counseling you to be mindful of Allah. And this counsel is so great. It's the counsel of Allah. So Allah says in the Quran, so a wasiyah is a testament. That's your last counsel. And so when you write your testament, you're putting the most important instructions. You're not putting petty things. You're putting the most important things. This is what I want the people coming after me to take from me. And so Allah Ta'ala, when He counsels us, وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. I've given a counsel to you. وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَاكُمْ. And those who preceded you, to have taqwa, to be mindful of Allah. This is the counsel of Allah. لَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا. We've given as a wasiyah. قَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. You and those who preceded you and yourselves, that you're mindful of Allah. It's the counsel of the Prophet ﷺ. Usikum ibadullah bi taqwallah. So I counsel you, O servants of Allah, with mindfulness of Allah. It's the counsel of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It's the counsel of Umar radiallahu anhu. It's the counsel of Uthman radiallahu anhu. It's the counsel of Ali radiallahu anhu majma'in. This is their counsel to us. So this is something we should take very, very seriously. So he counsels us with taqwa, and then he says, وَحُفُّكُمْ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ. And then I encourage you to obey him. وَحُفُّكُمْ. So يعني حَفْ is a strong encouragement. وَحُفُّكُمْ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ. So, usikum ibadullah bi taqwallah wa ahuffukum ala ta'ati. And I encourage you, strongly encourage you, I implore you to obey him. Because we're hardwired to obey something. Some people say, you know, I don't believe in organized religion, the rituals. And so if you're not obeying God, you're going to obey something. And so as more and more atheism occurs in our society, you see a corresponding rise of the occult. It's not like this void that atheism's creating is not being filled by something. It's being filled by the occult. You see in popular culture, see all of these people making Baphomet goat symbols. Seriously, you think about it. And you see the MTV Awards, they're up there encouraging the audience to pray to Satan. You go online, you'll see it. You know, there's Satan ritual. When Floyd Mayweather Jr. won his last fight, I started to say when he knocked out somebody, but he doesn't knock out people. When he won his last fight, who's in the ring with him? Justin Bieber. What's Justin Bieber doing in the ring? And Mayweather has on the pyramid, and Justin Bieber is flashing the goat symbol. And you think it's a coincidence? You go online and you could find it. Some of you probably already saw it and didn't know what you were looking at. Shaitan's going for the juggler. If you don't obey Allah, you're going to obey someone. And for more and more people, they're obeying Satan. For more and more people, they're obeying Satan.
No, Pacquiao.
You're not going to, that's not going to happen. But
you should just go to his house.
But you're going to obey something. You're going to obey something. So our Prophet is saying, I implore you to obey Allah. Usikum ibadallah bi taqwallah wa ahifukum ala ta'ati. And he calls us servants. Oh, servants of Allah, ibadallah. This is a title we should accept. And then we should understand what it means. Because the spirit of the time leads us to forget what it means. Even now, what is Islam? How do you define Islam? Islam means?
Peace.
How many say peace?
Submission to Allah.
That means peace. Allahu Akbar, submission. That's what it means, to submit to the will of God. So I accept God knows better than I do. God created me, so He knows what I need to function. Like Toyota made the Camry, so they made the manual how the Camry should be operated and repaired. So Ford doesn't make the manual for the Toyota Camry. Toyota makes the manual for the Toyota Camry. God made us, He gave us the manual. It's called the Quran. And to benefit from the manual, we have to submit. We have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means, submit. Doesn't mean submit to myself. And submission isn't always easy. If everything in Islam were easy and made us smile, something's wrong. So some people say, you know, it's so hard. Allahu Akbar, that you're on the right path. It is like, oh, it's so easy. It's not challenging at all, not in the bit. It doesn't require me to question myself on anything. There's a problem. Submission is not easy, especially in this environment. But we have to realize that's what it means to be ibadullah. That's what it means to be a servant of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means something. These are meanings. These are meanings, ma'anin. These are meanings. So to be a servant, ibadullah, has a meaning. And we're supposed to strive to embody that meaning in our actions, in our character, in our life, how we can carry ourselves, how we interact with each other. Ad-din al-mu'amala. That's what it means to be a servant of Allah. And may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in that regard. So, and then he says, أَسْتَفْتِحُ بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. So he says that I open with that which is best. So this is the best thing he can open with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is the most beneficial advice we can get. Be mindful of Allah and obey Him. أَكْثُرُ مَا يُدْخِلِ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةَ حُسْنُ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ خُلُقٍ. The thing that enter more people into paradise than anything else, being mindful of Allah and good character. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ خُلُقٍ. So it's not half, not just good character. So I treat people nice, I'm honest, I'm faithful, I don't break my promises, I fulfill my oaths and covenants, I kiss babies and I'm kind to cats. So why do I have to pray and engage in all these rituals? Because it's taqwa Allah wa husnu khuluq. It's taqwa and husnu khuluq. So it's not just husnu khuluq. And then I could leave things. We said, submitting to the will of Allah. How's that manifested? In our devotion. And devotion has a function, the word devotion and ibadah also as a function of love. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullahi wa Rasulu. So the end of khutbatul hajj wa shadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. He's his servant and he's also his beloved, Habibullah. He's Abdullah wa Rasuluhu. He's the servant of Allah and his beloved. So servitude is undertaken out of love. One of the Arab poets we mentioned this many times before, إِنَّ الْمُطِيعَ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعًا إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعًا. The one who loves someone obeys them. The one who loves someone obeys them. So our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coupled with our obedience of Allah. No one can say, I love you. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, take the garbage out. Oh, I took it out last week. You take it out. If you love her, like it's like, take the garbage out. You want me to do the dishes too? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. So, if you love someone, you obey them. So our love for Allah, devotion, it translates into devotion. Love and obedience, that's devotion. The two are linked. Love and obedience. So he says, I open with that which is best. أَمَّا بَعْدُ أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اسْمَعُوا مِنِّي أُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ فَإِنِّي لَأَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَأَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا في موقف هذا. So he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll stop here and continue with this next week. I counsel you, O servants of Allah, with mindfulness of Allah and encourage you to obey Him. I begin with what is best to proceed. Amma ba'd. O people, listen well to me, for I am going to make some things clear to you, as I do not know, perhaps I will not meet you after this year of mine at this place. So this is a foretelling of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we'll start with this next week, inshallah. So we'll stop here. So any questions, comments, additions, subtractions, deletions, anyone might have? Naam, fadal.
Part of the reason they play music in grocery stores and everywhere,
yeah,
is because market research shows that they study humans, and if you put music playing in the background, they're more likely to shop longer.
And that's what I said. The music makes you shop. You don't even think about it. You just throw it in the cart.
But they even test what songs work best too.
Oh, so now like boom boom pa doom works better than they're targeting younger and younger shoppers.
Maybe
they're like
impulse buy with that type of
thing. Oh, impulsiveness. Just buy it. Naam, alhamdulillah, naam. Jazakallah. Anything else? Yes. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Mentioned that people call each other significant other or partners, but now they really have same-sex marriages.
Right. So well, that's, isn't that covered by the significant other?
No, but they call each other. They call each other. This is my wife, this is my husband. They call each other. They introduce you to their...
So the guy introduces you
ladies,
to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they have... They have
well, this is just a sign of the end of time. This is what I think Shaykh Hamza mentioned the other day. Like the inversion, قَلْبِ الْحَقَائِقِ, realities will be inverted. So in the old days, people would become homosexual so they wouldn't have to get married and go into the army. They say they don't let homosexuals in the army. So it's like, okay, man, I'm joining. I don't want to go kill nobody. Now the homosexuals want to get married and go into the army. So everything's flipped around.
So how do we protect ourselves?
Turn off the TV. Don't buy the music. Stay in the masjid.
and in your house and work. So you like work, home, masjid, work, home, masjid, work, home, masjid. No TV, no music, because those are the avenues. Like shaitan, it says Allah Ta'ala mentioned, wastafziz man istata'ta minhum bisawtik. So agitate to the point of just making everyone an ignoramus. Like istafziz, istajhil. Yeah, make them ignorant. Wastakhfif. And make them just frivolous. Bisaltika. And salt is said is lewd and indecent music. That's what most of the Mufassirin say. Bisaltik, the salt, the voice of Satan is lewd and indecent music. Wajlib alayhim biqailika wa rajilika. And then unleash your cavalry and your infantry against them. And so I think it was Fakhruddin al-Razi, he says that the cavalry and the infantry, these are the legions of those who are influencing, who have been influenced by shaitan, and they create this din, this environmental noise that pushes you towards the haram. So Muslims will say, you know, well, everyone does it. Why are you so uptight? Everyone does it. And that everyone, that's the cavalry and the infantry of shaitan. And so to avoid it, we have to like distance ourselves from it. It's not easy. But the good, إِنِّي بَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. My righteous servants, you have no power over them. And so this is the Prophet's warning us, stay close to Allah, have taqwa of Allah. Stay in the dhikr of Allah. Stay in the company of the believers and shaitan will not affect you. But the kids try to keep them in that environment. That's why we have to have a very proactive youth program and try to keep the young people involved with positive activities and religious teaching, but coupled with sporting activities, outdoor activities, things to keep them involved and engaged, and try to create a supportive community. Well, because like one family, there's no TV, no popular music, and then they go to the next Muslim family and the kids are making fun of them because they don't know who Hannah Montana is. Or you never heard of Hannah Montana? A'udhu billah. And now they're like, oh, who's Hannah Montana? So we have to have supportive communities where we commit ourselves to and creating social movements where we mutually reinforce each other and positive values that push back against this stuff. It's hard to do in isolation. Absolutely, as you're raising a very good point. But as communities, we can do it. Then the children, they have each other, they have their sports leagues, they have their educational institutions and facilities. And inshallah, and then it's not just for Muslims, other people, they'll try to put their children in it too, because we're not the only people concerned about this stuff. We're not the only people concerned about it. Yes? Mindfulness is to be aware of the relevant commandment or prohibition of Allah in the situation you're in. This is why I mentioned is situational. So most of the scholars, at a basic level, they define taqwa as imtithal al-awamir wa ijtinab al-nawahi, implementing the orders and avoiding the prohibitions. So your consciousness is your consciousness of the orders, commandments, and prohibitions of Allah to such an extent that there's not a situation you find yourself in except that you're aware of what you should be doing or what you should be avoiding. Yes. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Towards the beginning you mentioned the Nafs Shaman.
Shahwani and Bahimi.
And you talked about the cardinal desires and it was hard to kind of capture what you were saying at once about sin and this need to work on ourselves to remove that. And you mentioned fitra as well, and so I was trying to figure out, from my understanding, fitra, or your original nature, is pure as love, is in submission to Allah already. And so this idea of, like, I was just a little bit confused about the how all this stuff happens. From my understanding, it's due to your environment or kind of what you're cultivated around. And so can you maybe...
Absolutely. No, there's the fitra is the natural propensity in the human being to worship. And that goes back to Alastu bi Rabbikum. So before we were, our spirits were united with the physical body in a realm of total purity. So Allah took forth the descendants, the progeny of Adam from his loins, and caused them to witness against themselves. وَأَشْهَدُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّ عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So he caused them to witness against themselves, am I not your Lord? They declared certainly, you are, lest you say on the day of resurrection, we were heedless of this. So that is the fitra and the foundation of the human. When we come into these physical bodies in this world, then there are four things that create the environmental forces you alluded to that don't pull us away from our fitra, it's there, but it hides it. And that is the nafs, our... what we can say is the ego. Some people would say if you're being truly Freudian, is the id, because that's the destructive aspect of the self and not the ego. But generally speaking, in the popular understanding, the ego, the nafs, and nafs, wal hawa, the inclination. So those suggestions that come to us, the hawa and nafs, al hawa, as shaitan, then Satan. Who says, بِمَا أَغْقَالَ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because you've caused me to go astray, I'm going to lay in wait for them on your straight path. And so Shaitan says he's going to come at us. As Shaitan, and nafs wal-hawa wa shaitan wa dunya, and the world. Because the world itself has certain attractions. So those things collectively create an environment that cloud over our realization of that primordial fact that we are, that Allah is our Lord, and conversely we are His servants. So and that is a separate explanation altogether. But I hope that begins to clarify some of that.
A little off topic, I think, but I keep finding more and more that this issue of legalization of marijuana is coming up, and that the Muslims seem to be getting involved in promoting it and saying that there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, you, at one level, you could promote it as long as you know something is wrong with it. In the sense that,
so I can smoke weed?
No. See?
Well, that's what the argument seems to be.
You're still messed up because the Seahawks won and you're still in that euphoria because you're from Seattle. No, I didn't say that. I said at one level, you could promote legalization as long as you know something's wrong with it and you can't smoke it. So legalizing it doesn't make it halal. Like alcohol, all right, hold up. You cannot sell it. Can you sell alcohol? Alcohol is legal. No. Can you, as a Muslim, knowing it's cursed, sell alcohol?
No.
Is it legal in this country?
Part of the
No. Is it? It's legal, but it's haram.
Right.
All right. So, if we say we're going to legalize marijuana, but it's still haram, we're not going to use it, smoke it, but we're going to legalize it. So 60,000 people over the next 5 years in Mexico won't die.
Because the preservation of life in the Sharia has preference of the preservation of the intellect. Marijuana threatens the intellect. This gang wars in Mexico threaten lives.
But they say it doesn't threaten your intellect, Dad.
No, well,
I mean,
that's...
I really heard a lot of arguments on...
Well, I'm telling you, it threatens your intellect.
Do you feel like you can pray on it? They say, yes. I say, so you will read Quran, pray on it, everything.
No.
They're like, yes, it doesn't do me like that. I say,
it does you like something.
It make them think, they say.
And then it affects your mind.
It makes in a good way.
In a good way, mashallah. Well, there's people that say alcohol affects them in a good way, as long as they don't drink too much of it.
I mean, I'm
right?
For it, but I just don't.
All right, then you should be like,
I'm constantly battling.
Allahu Akbar. Well, keep battling. Keep battling. We with you. But legalization and haram, these should be looked at as two separate issues. And they should be assessed on the way we assess issues in the scale of Sharia. Sharia prioritizes preserving deen, preserving life, preserving intellect, preserving family, preserving wealth or honor. And so, and they're prioritized. Deen is first, life, intellect, family, wealth, honor. And so, if we're in a situation, it's just like alcohol. When your life is threatened, there's nothing to drink, you're going to die of thirst, you can drink alcohol to preserve your life. Because preservation of life takes preference over preservation of your intellect. But once that threat is gone, then you no longer have that license. But even while you're drinking it, it's still haram. You just have a rukhsa or license to do it, expiation to do it, to preserve your life temporarily. And so these are legal issues that should be looked at in the big picture. But it never, when you're eating pork, there's no food to eat. So you're eating pork to preserve your life, it doesn't make pork halal. It's still haram. But it's, you have a license to engage in it to preserve your life. So marijuana is haram. It always will be haram. It is never halal. But you might make an argument concerning its legal status because you're trying to save a lot of lives that are being lost because of it being illegal. And then there's counter-arguments to that. But the point is, we try to look at the big picture. But even if you make that argument, just like alcohol, it's still haram. You still can't sell it, you can't use it, or anything. Those people, you know their problem is?
They want to smoke it.
No, their problem is they have a weak connection with Allah. Because if they were right with Allah, they'd be on a natural high. They wouldn't need any marijuana. Marijuana would be like, it would be like smoking cow manure, because it would mess up this sweetness of their connection to Allah Ta'ala. That's their problem. So they need to deepen their connection with Allah. They need to go sit on a hill, make some dhikr, read their Quran on a regular basis, hang out with Abdul Wali, and then, man, they'll be straight, inshallah. Tayyip. So it's late. We have to stop. We'll carry on next week, inshallah. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman wa 'amalan mutaqabbala khalisan liwajhika al-karim. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin wa sallallahu 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati wal-fatiha min shajihi shamrihi alhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Mm-hmm.